The thing is, Morgan, and it's a very important life lesson to learn, is just because you can...
Does it mean you should?
Jeff Goldblum was on the money with that one. And good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good welcome one and all. Welcome back to the Unsalted Popcorn Podcast. We join us as we set about picking up the second half of whatever the first part was called. It will be Family of Blood. We're doing it in two parts because, well, we're trying not to kill ourselves with alcohol. And we are possibly experimenting with technology, which may lead to conversations that no one understands apart from Laura, who is over there in the hat. Good evening, Laura.
Hi!
And over the other side is, of course, the ever be... Oh, her ears have gone. I was going to say the ever be-eared Morgan, but the ears aren't on. There we go. As Dad smacks her in the face with them. Is the lovely Morgan. Hello, Morgan.
Hello.
And next to Morgan is the long-suffering John.
Yeah, hello.
This is... to bring this into real time, by the way, this is a sad evening over here in the world of Norwich because it sounds like Norwich City's stay in the Premier League is all but over.
Aww.
Their plea to void the season went unheard. They have just been twatted 3-0 by Southampton. So when this is done, I get to send laughing text messages to my mate. Other quick bit of admin is we normally try and do these Sundays and Wednesdays, but now football's back. That's been thrown into the blender because one of us has very religious reasons for following football religiously, and it's not the other two. So, we will be on slightly different days and slightly different times because one of us loves football, one of us understands football, and one of us lives in the heart of Scottish football and doesn't know a thing about it.
Very true.
Anyway, so, how have we all been?
Well, obviously, as the thing about Scottish football is... our ability to play football seems to be inversely proportionate to our love for it. That's and that people are very passionate about football in Scotland, but we are.
To this day, my favourite thing about Scottish football ever is when the World Cup or the European Championships, whatever, comes around, back in the days when they did football songs, England's were always very passionate, upbeat, we're going to go and win this, boys, they're sticking to Johnny Foreigner. Scotland, on one occasion, brilliantly... got theirs done by Delamitri with the classic song Don't Come Home Too Soon.
That 1998?
Yep, the one. Yep. It was a brilliant song, but you can't sing it on the terraces, and it wasn't exactly uplifting. Don't have to
where
be accurate.
Where was 1998?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
No, where was it? Where was 1998?
Oh, France. It's France 98.
Oh, it's France. So that's not a big distance between Scotland and France.
No.
No, they didn't have far to go when it all went tits up and they went home.
They could have made a day trip of it.
They effectively did. I mean, they had the best video. They had a kickabout in an airport with the Scottish team and people and Delamitri. And the video was really good. But then, like I said, I love the song. It's just so Delamitri. It's just... so downbeat and laid back.
I can name one Delamitri song, and that's Roll to Me. I think that's it.
That's a very good song.
Even that 1998 World Cup song. No idea.
Really? I mean, I can name you a few more if you want to get bored on Delamitri songs.
Well, I bored you with the tech stuff, so if you've got a list of Delamitri songs that we should all go away and listen to.
Oh, I do.
The difference is, Laura, you bored us with the tech stuff kind of offline, but that's as the part of the podcast.
And because this is in the bit that I'm not going to edit out, so this is all good. This is fantastic.
Edit out the entire episode. It's just you talking with Delamitri for an hour and a half.
But it does mean I get to tag the band and get to tag Justin Curry. So, you know, someone else might actually listen to this. Ignore the first album because they were a very different band. Go straight into Change Everything. And the singles off there are really good. Hatful of Rain, The Greatest Hits, will be a good place to start. I'd go there. If you like Roll to Me, you also get Driving with the Brakes On off the same album, which is a very, very good song. I once saw them supporting Bryan Adams at Wembley.
Say Brian or Ryan?
Brian.
Bryan Adams. They weren't performing with him later on. They were just going, oh, Brian, you did okay.
Because my mate wanted to see Bryan Adams at Wembley, and I was like, I'm not going anywhere near that. And he went, Delamitri, the main support. I said, right, get me a ticket, let's go.
Okay.
Hang on, the main support, who were the other acts?
I can't remember who the... I think there were four bands on, I think. But there may have only been three, because I know...
Ruffy Ellis Baxter.
That would have been so good. Arguably slightly worse, because they were basically, it was an entire A&M Records bill. So yeah, Brian Adams headlining, Delamitri were the main support, and opening was Ricky Ross. Not Rick Ross, the current indie hit maker of the day, Ricky Ross of Deacon Blue.
Deacon Blue, yeah.
On his first solo album, which no one bought. And I think he played one Deacon Blue song, which some people knew, and he basically just died on his hole. Other than thoroughly enjoying Delamitri, the highlights of that day were I almost got lynched by the people we were standing around, because Brian Adams played, obviously, the hit. And one mouthy git started moaning, yelling and screaming and going, shut up, can we stop playing this, please? And it turned out the people around me quite liked that song. That didn't go well.
Which is why it was at number one for about a million years.
Exactly, yeah. But my absolute favourite moment was he'd done, I forget which album Brian Adams it was, but he'd done a song called We're Gonna Win, because apparently he's a Chelsea fan. Obviously, being from Canada, he would be. And so he made some reference to football and Wembley, at which point me and my mate started up a chorus of Three Lions. And by the end of the chorus, as we were singing along, we stopped. We suddenly realised the rest of Wembley had caught up with us. And we got the whole of Wembley Stadium to sing Three Lions.
Hey!
Nice!
No one knows it was me. But
so I can't, but they do know.
Although now I do want to hear a mashup of Summer in 69 and the John Barnes rap song.
Oh, that would be the best thing ever.
I would quite like that.
I'm sure somebody. I'm sure if we put a call out on our social media channels, I'm sure somebody would do that for us. That'd be absolutely fantastic.
I actually love that. See, you're on Facebook and you see somebody saying, "Can someone do such and such?" And within about 3 minutes, it's done.
Yep, that's what Facebook's for.
Lovely.
Also, on this day in history type thing, live events as they happen. Talking of social media, today is the day that vile, rancid bag of waste Katie Hopkins finally got her Twitter account suspended.
Hey!
Permanently, isn't it?
Yep, permanently.
Is it permanently?
I thought that happened a few months ago and then she ended up back on there, so I'm fully expecting to see her back on there.
No, according to reports, this is now permanent. She'd been suspended for like 24 hours and 48 hours and been given warnings. But this is the actual, no, you're gone.
What? She might come back as Haiti Cockpins. Which, to be honest, actually, now that I've said it out loud, sounds infinitely more appropriate name.
It really does.
Maybe a profile will appear just in her with one of those evil beards, like Evil Spock, and then you have to work which is evil Katie Hopkins.
Well, surprise, they both
evil,
are.
Surely evil Katie Hopkins would be a force for good.
Oh. Well, that's an interesting inversion.
Negative.
Yeah, I like that. I was a little bit...
Evil Kate Hopkins, and then they can do like a TV show like Highway to Heaven. she's gone about from town to town.
We're back to like, take the high road again, aren't we?
Quantum Leap meets Littlest Hobo. That's what Highway to Heaven was. Never said that out loud either.
No.
Tonight's a night.
Oh,
Kate Hopkins starring in a reboot of Highway to Heaven.
Can I ask, why did this person get suspended?
It's a long story. We won't talk about it right now. We're already 40 minutes in and I'm not going to tell the Kate Hopkins story.
Short version, she's a vile human being.
She's just a piece. She's a piece of work.
That's the one.
Yeah, I was going to get really venomous there, and I thought, you know, maybe I won't.
It's just not worth the effort. I was slightly upset this evening because someone put out a picture of Katie Hopkins and Alf and went, ha, 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 they look very similar. And I just thought that was very mean and nasty and degrading, and Alf deserved better.
Absolutely.
Anyway, right, so, something about Doctor Who.
We're on the Family of Blood.
We're on the Family of Blood, which I was about to come to.
Katie Hopkins, we're on the Family of Blood. speaking of people that don't do a very good job of looking 100% human and showing empathy and emotion,
that's about right.
And to taking over people's minds one by one.
Absolutely.
And it also
assimilating themselves into society, but you know, there's something not quite right with them to start off with before the colours.
And also, it's set in 1913, or as Katie Hopkins knows it, a better time.
A better time, absolutely. But you didn't have to be nice to him. You didn't have to be nice to minorities. I can't even say minorities, right?
No. It was a simpler time when you could call people exactly what you thought and everyone just let you off because you were white.
And you could put anything on a jam jar.
Moving on.
No fear of repercussion.
Oh dear, you can't even sing "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot" anymore because no one's complained.
Right, no one has complained, have they? That's one of those which has just been truly manufactured by the male.
Yep, totally, completely, 100%.
I've not seen that anywhere.
No, it's a story of the Daily Mail going, they won't even let us sing that anymore, and no one at any point has gone, can you not sing that anymore?
God, they're banning Christmas next.
Again. I can't remember the last time I celebrated Christmas because it just keeps getting banned.
I've actually been celebrating Christmas pretty much non-stop since lockdown started.
Wait, you've had the decorations up, so
I'm getting the decorations up. I've not been at work and I've been daytime drinking. And I've been buying lots of stuff for myself online.
That's pretty much Christmas holidays.
Yeah, I will say that I actually bought something for Tanya for Christmas last year, and I bought it on Amazon, and I didn't realise I'd actually clicked on subscribe. she's getting that again on Saturday. And I just, did you like the gift today? Because like? You're getting another one.
What's
it doesn't matter. Perfume.
Has she used it all already? Is she bathing in the stuff?
She hasn't.
Is she drinking?
She said, I'm not getting near it. I said, well,
she haven't even used it once since I wasn't even born yet. She said,
young person,
you are minus. She's not that bad.
Young person outraged at perfume not being used.
Absolutely. Morgan just wants to use all the perfume. She gets annoyed that she's not allowed to.
Well, Morgan, as you're not allowed to drink alcohol, drink perfume, you'll be fine.
Drink perfume, absolutely.
That'll defeat the virus.
That would, exactly. According to Donald Trump, just drink perfume and you don't need to worry about COVID-19 anymore.
what have we done? About 20, have we done like close to 20 episodes of this, or 15, 20 episodes? And that's the best piece of satire that any of us have done.
She's really quite.
Come from Morgan.
She's quite damning, given it is my stock in trade. It's just quite.
The thing is, up to this point, she's always been too intent on the episodes to actually comment too much. And if she does, it's just. And then she comes out with that gem.
Yeah, on that basis, we start watching the episode and keep her quiet.
I think I've been the funniest so far.
Right, off you pop.
Isn't it time for bed?
Yeah, exactly.
don't come on here and start being funnier than the talent, love. You know.
Exactly. Not like to be funny,
love. Right. You're here for the youth vote, that's all. Right then, over to little Miss Laura. What are we watching? Family of Blood, talk us through it.
There's about to be a minute-long recap of what happened in the previous episode, so, you know.
Oh, that takes care of that, then. Sorry to make you do some work for a living. Just to clarify...
Let me check to make sure it was there, and it is.
Yep, and just to clarify, we are all watching this on the iPlayer version.
We are doing iPlayer.
So we'll be in sync and...
Well done.
And somebody tries to squirm off the sofa from under a dog... who's now trying to work out where a human's gone because she was quite comfy. Ah, now she's getting up. Right. So, on to Doctor Who, the Family of Blood, our directionless commentary.
Hey, TM.
TM. Copyright, etc. and so on. The Vanquishing of Racists edition. And, as ever, when we press play, you press play, and we will talk you through the fun, the hilarity that is... 1913 in a very badly decorated village hall. Are we ready?
Yep, totally. Yeah,
3, 2, 1, and play.
I'm just thinking, vanquishing of the racist. You know, we're just like, we're so woke we could be Chibnall.
That, if he comes up with that as a title for an episode, I'm suing him.
Absolutely.
Oh dear. Oh yeah, that happened and that happened and that happened and he's got ears. Yeah, I'm up to speed. I remember what happened.
Don't pick on the kid with the ears.
Well, that covers most of them, but I mean, he's got a funny face.
If you're picking on the kid with the ears, then you're leaving the kid without the ears alone.
Fair point. Can't argue with that. Oh, weird. I've got to say to you, the scarecrow, I've forgotten the scarecrows are really cool in this.
Yeah.
I'm not ruling out the possibility of calling this podcast of mine this week.
Definitely
should. Yeah, I don't doubt anybody will get the reference. Because I didn't until I watched this. I still think the red colour on the opening credits is better than the blue colour. I don't know why it matters. But
I do.
I just think it's got a nicer vibe.
I think it's quite nice. I like the start of series 7 where it got darker for the first 5 episodes of the series.
Yep.
Like every single episode before Amy and Rory left. It looked very nice.
Did Russell T Davis not have a thing that whenever you saw the kind of the TARDIS going through the vortex, if it was red, then they were going into the future. If it was blue, they were going into the past.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Did not know that. Or spot it. How come she didn't? If that ray gun can actually vaporize someone, how does she not blow a hole in the ceiling?
In the roof, just like doesn't have that same kind of effect on the 19th century village hall.
Or maybe it just affects kind of organic things. There you go, there's your get out.
Yeah, but it's 1913. Half of that will be organic. It'll be straw, wattle and door.
Do you like your door made of human bones?
It's not very vegan, but you can go with it. As long as they gave themselves willingly, I have no problem with it.
Katie Hopkins, you know, they won't even make doors out of human bones anymore.
And it's a disgrace.
Political correctness gone mad.
What was wrong with just having human bones as a door frame? It's what our ancestors wanted.
My mother's doors, you know, the door handles were made out of baby's fists.
That would actually make quite a good door handle. Quite ergonomic and
yeah.
It would be fantastic.
That worked really, really well.
Yeah. It'd have to obviously be like kind of closed fist. But I suppose you could get the fancy ones that are just like a hand, like that, just outwards, and then you push it down like that to open the door.
Well, no, I'm thinking like when you get the push door panels, it would just be like a human hand, and you just give it a high five.
High five, that's it.
Yeah. Oh, you know,
love high fives.
You know the old-fashioned latch ones?
Yeah.
You could actually do that with knuckles and finger joints.
I'm going to start petitioning Katie Hopkins. Hey, Hopkins.
Hey, Hopkins.
Katie Hopkins back on Twitter. This
is turning into an episode of Homes Under the Hammer.
Absolutely.
See, what you've got here is a perfectly normal...
There was a pink window for a second there. We had grot bags.
I miss grot bags.
I miss grot bags. Phenomenal music career. Have you ever listened to her album?
No.
She did an album?
I can't remember what her name is. What's it? Grotbags actress name? Julie something?
Did she not change her name legally to Grotbags? She should have.
No, sadly not. But she released music.
I did not know
actually,
that.
It's actually quite good.
Did she release music in character as Grotbags or did she actually have
no.
a music career?
That would have been a very 80s thing to do. But
I know, absolutely. But it did happen. It did happen.
If you say so, I don't believe it. Wasn't that?
I'm obviously going to have to check the greatest hits of grot bags after last podcast.
Was it somebody at the door, or was that number 73?
No, somebody at the door was the pink one, man. That's right.
That's it, yeah.
There's somebody at the door.
There's somebody at the door.
Happened 3 times an episode. Only once would it ever be grot bags, but every single time I used to run away.
I think that's quite reasonable.
In case it was grot bags.
That sounds
pretty reasonable. I always assumed it was social services, wondering why Rod Hall had about 24 children in his house. Unsupervised by any other adult.
Because it was a simpler time, John.
It was a simpler time. They probably knew it was safe because he was an ITV.
Is now the time to raise questions about the doctor's indoctrinated passive approach to life? As everyone is busy filing bullets and getting out the Gatling gun.
This is exactly how school would have been in, or at least public school would have been in
1913. Yeah. Start shooting at the plebs and the scarecrows.
Yeah.
To be fair, plebs need shooting at. It's the only language they understand. I'm not sure you can't shoot scarecrows because Wurzel Gummidge is a scarecrow and you can't shoot him. That would be murder.
Times.
Is there an episode of Wurzel Gummidge I missed where someone tries to shoot him?
Probably.
And then the whole season after that is who shot Wurzel.
Well, he put his detective head on for that one.
And
Sherlock Gummidge.
I mean, Strawlock Holmes was there, but you went the other way.
I'm sorry. I can't believe I missed it. I was leaving it open for Morgan, but she was too busy watching the episode.
She's too intent on the episode. She spent after
Morgan is on the satire side. She's not after cheap puns. You've got 2027's new Chris Morris to your right there, John.
She's on the highbrow cerebral side.
Yeah.
Did I mention last time about the red balloon and it? I'm sure I did.
Yes.
Because it still makes me think of, I'm still expecting a clown to turn up at some point. Harsh. Also, why isn't he going ow?
Because it's a scarecrow.
Ah. But he still just lost an arm. I'm pretty sure that hurts even if you're a scarecrow.
Have you not seen Holy Grail? Doesn't hurt.
Test by test. Flesh wound.
Yeah, but he wasn't a scarecrow. I don't want to get pedantic about this. He very much wasn't a scarecrow. He was a very brave knight. I don't know if this helps at all. The way you can tell the difference is he was in a full suit of armour. Wurzel is made of straw. Now, I know that, you know, they look very similar. But that'll be why, you see. If you pulled Wurzel's arm off, I'm not sure he'd complain too much.
No, he wouldn't complain because he's a scarecrow.
He's a real live human being and you know it. It was also the Daily Telegraph who were moaning about Sing Lo.
Oh, really?
In a shock turn of events, yeah. So no one else was complaining. It was just the right-wing press.
Standard. Well, has to be said there, son of mine has a very valid point.
He does. He absolutely does.
What was the point?
Point was that all of your boys are going to be going off to war next year. Are they going to be thanking the guy who set them up for it, basically?
Yeah, training them to die.
Fair point. Can't argue with that. But see, that was the thing then. That was the thing again in 1939, wasn't it? It was the old white man thought it was an honourable thing to do, and so he probably sent other people off to die. He didn't actually go and die himself. I know that was a serious point, and I apologise.
What was the cut-off? Serious question. What was the cut-off point for conscripts, effectively, into the First World War in this country?
18.
I was 18, yeah.
No,
a lot of people lied about their age.
Upwards. Oh, upwards?
I imagine.
No, just no.
I only ask because obviously the doctor has no proof of how old he is.
Ah, good point. I think
he would have been well within the age range. He probably also been...
went off to war.
I would guess.
You would assume that he would be a conscientious objector,
yeah,
and therefore would face jail.
Well, except John Smith apparently isn't a conscientious objector because John Smith is running around going, "Get your rifles out, boys."
It's true, but can you actually?
Which happened a lot in public schools.
Can you actually see even the character of John Smith doing that?
No, that's a fair point. I think the upper limit was kind of cut off by your medical state.
I think it was health, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think 18 and upwards, you kind of got conscripted, and then you had a medical, and if you weren't fit for war, you either got a desk job or stuck in a factory.
Okay. Sorry, just all the scarecrows suddenly appearing there just reminded me of all the Ewoks in Return of the Jedi, and I suddenly hate this episode.
I'm trying to work out where all the scarecrows came from, because there was only one before.
Fields, they came from fields.
Someone is yawning as she takes the dogs for a walk. I mean, surely you'd need at least two scarecrows to get that many scarecrows. And I'm not sure they had enough time. Because even if you try and multiply them with bits of straw and just do it the old-fashioned way, they've still not got a lot of time. No, you can't have that many.
True.
Oh, God, she's trying to explain the doctor to a human. That never goes well. While trying to find a watch.
1913.
He's trying to explain modern femininity and time travel to a woman from 1913.
Just, what would have been great is if she reeled off all the boards in the hand and just said like that.
That'd work really well, I think.
Now we have to do something with the fact that we're recording this episode.
Yeah, that joke didn't work very well in the kind of audio medium.
Well, I don't know. I'm sure we can get a still and just put that up as the cover image of the episode.
Excellent.
Where Father of Mine became Dropbox.
Ah, yes. See, that's gender equality for you.
Yes, because Grot Bags is a title that is handed down.
Yes.
the Grot Bags mantle.
From the Grot Bags High Council.
I used to think, do you remember Teabag?
Yes.
On ITV.
Where are you going with this?
Teabag and T-shirt.
Well, the Teabag was pretty much always the same, wasn't she? But T-shirt changed.
Teabag changes. Well, there were two teabags.
There were two teabags. One of them ended up in Coronation Street, I think, or Emmerdale. I can't remember where the other one ended up. You're right.
In character,
even teabag then is a mantle.
I genuinely don't know what it is you're talking about at this point.
Do you not know teabag?
Teabag was great.
Teabag was awesome.
I'm not looking it up.
The boy
in
a
guild,
depending what series it was set on a quest to usually recover, like, 12 mystical spoons or some shit like that.
Yeah, something stupid.
Yeah, and Teabag had to stop him, or her.
But they ended up working together in most cases. It was like one of those... I'm trying to remember who it was who played...
T-shirt was like her kind of manservant, like a young boy is a manservant, and he betrayed her at the end of every season, but she still took him back next year.
Whatever you do, do not do a Google image search for teabag.
there's a video that apparently is how to teabag properly, and I'm not clicking on that. Helping those of a delicate disposition, it's T, the letter, hyphen, bag.
The Guardian describes the show as time travel drama somewhere between Doctor Who and Blackadder.
Yeah, it was nowhere near any of that.
And I'm also going to point out that this episode is somewhere near Doctor Who and Blackadder. That's a really good reference.
85 to 92 it was on.
Yeah, it was on for years. I remember it's one of the first TV shows that I remember. It was like 4 when it started.
Elizabeth...
It had the same run length as Buffy. There we go.
Elizabeth Estenson. Elizabeth Estenson was the first teabag, and I do remember thinking she was quite cute. I don't remember the second one. I think I was too old for teabag when the second one came along.
The second teabag was a lot more melodramatic.
Second teabag was basically an Essex girl, but really old.
Yeah, so that would never appeal to me. Because I lived in Essex. They weren't that much fun. Ah. Estenson left the show and Tallulah Bag was replaced by her sister, Tabitha Bag.
Convenient that she had the same first initial then, isn't it?
Parents had very limited imagination. Oh, hello. John Smith's just gone all...
kind of has different connotations, doesn't it?
Yes.
Imagine if Doctor Who had gone down that route and they just changed their... Like, they're just like kind of going... Well, this is my brother, Professor Who.
this is Mr. Who, who's now qualified as a surgeon.
That's exactly. And they just found variations of... this is my brother, Patrick Troughton.
Just a second. Georgina Hale played the second teabag.
Yeah.
She was born in 1943.
Yeah. This show's almost 40 years old.
Yeah.
So it's not that surprising.
Oh, fair enough. Then I thought she was supposed
Georgina to... Georgina Hale is the one who was... she was in Happiness Patrol.
Yes.
Bringing things full circle.
Oh.
She was a Candyman.
Well, to be fair, Elizabeth Stenson was only 4 years younger than her. Oh, that's gone a bit... I was going to say Straw Dogs.
Have you got subtitles on?
No.
Didn't see the subtitles literally say Rat-a-tat of machine gun.
Yes.
Which if you're deaf and you've never heard a machine gun, doesn't help you.
Then you may wonder what a rat-a-tat sounds like, yeah. Isn't it?
Is that like several rats together?
Rat-shaped thing from Star Wars, you know, one of those big kind of Imperial Walker type things, a rat-a-tat.
I've got a Lego model of a rat-a-tat.
On a serious note, is the whole slow motion fawning of the scarecrow supposed to be kind of symbolistic for what happens the following year?
I'd imagine so.
With the choir playing, because it doesn't have the same effect when it's with scarecrows.
What happened the following year with the choir playing?
It was more to do with, you know, like actual people falling.
Oh, as in real life. Yes.
As in real life.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it does. Yeah. That is kind of what I took it to mean. Sorry, I was forgetting the real life existed. I was just living entirely in the scarecrow world of red balloons.
Or like the last scene in Blackadder goes forth. If only there was a television show that we knew that was halfway between this show and Blackadder, and we could maybe talk about it in depth.
It never existed.
I know, absolutely.
Oh, dear. This is why you just can't trust old white men. They don't know anything and they do stupid stuff. There we go. Good girl. Well done. You could do with a few more of those people getting shot. In entirely unrelated news, did we see the story today that the government have said they're not using their own track and trace app? They're now signing up with Apple and Google.
Yeah.
To which Apple turned around and went, what? No,
and
you're
Apple
not.
Know nothing about it.
Yeah, that's the one. I think they genuinely just think if they just say stuff, everyone's going to nod and smile and say yes. They kind of forget there's a world out there listening.
Unfortunately, about 35% of the population will.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I forgot that.
That's how it works.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot that such people do exist.
They've been doing all wrong.
I wonder if...
They've got the funny man with the floppy hair in charge. He's great.
Have some tam-tams.
But it'd be great if you downloaded it and it was one of those ones that said it's free but there's in-app purchases.
in order to see who you've been infected by, pay your card, put in your card details. We will accept PayPal.
or watch this short advert.
Also, you'll know you'll become infected because you'll then suddenly find you've got a U2 album on your phone.
It's very convenient that you use the FobWatch at that exact point to stop those kids getting killed when they couldn't see them.
I don't know what you mean. That it just that was a dramatically exactly when he would have done that.
but you let this era off with a lot more stuff than they're letting the current era off with.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. I do feel like people who watch Doctor Who at the moment never actually watched Doctor Who before.
No. Yeah.
Because all the stuff you get away with, you can't get away with now, was stock in trade.
Absolutely.
For the last 40 years. Ooh.
Look at that. We dragged your TARDIS all the way over here for a trap.
It's remarkably light, isn't it? Given the fact that most people have to move it using cranes.
Yeah.
But apparently, maybe they've got a special magical scarecrow crane. Oh, that balloon is actually full of very, 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 very good helium.
You would imagine then that means the girl would just be like going away. It's like we are the family. I'm like,
No, it's because she's made of lead. Or she's nailed her feet to the floor.
Okay, this is probably my favourite ever David Tennant performance right here.
You need to watch Staged.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm that's next on my list.
Just get the whole lot hoovered up. It's absolutely fantastic. It's Tennant's finest performance.
Okay.
Also, Michael Sheen's finest performance. Do you know what we found out watching that and then doing a bit of research? Because Tennant and Tennant's wife are in Staged.
Okay.
As David and Georgia. Sheen is in it with his current girlfriend and mother of his second daughter. And other people are in it as sort of other characters and guest stars. But Sheen is 50. Current girlfriend is 25. Do you know who his previous two girlfriends or three girlfriends / missuses were?
I think I know one of them, but I can't remember exactly who, but it was around, I remember it from around the time that he was in a Mannix video. It was about 10 years ago.
That possibly would have been Kate Beckinsale.
Yes.
With whom he has a child. After her was Sarah Silverman.
Mm.
After her, Aisling Bea.
Yeah.
It's like, how? No offence to Mr. Sheen, one of the finest actors of his generation, but how did he get...
Let's be fair, yeah, he's one of the finest character actors of his generation, and he can play a 25-year-old.
Well, he must be playing one regularly, because they've got a child.
Yeah. And he shouts umpteen things clean.
That's very true. So yeah. maybe that's all it takes.
Kate Beckinsale's around the same age as him, isn't she?
Yeah.
She must be, because Richard's been dead for... How many years?
She's getting
close to 50?
I think she's closer to my age. She's only a couple of years younger than him, to be fair.
Okay.
But I did have a theory that... I haven't bothered checking it, but I think he basically starts dating women who are around the age of 25. So that's his starting point for all relationships.
What age he is.
Do what?
Irrespective of what age he is.
Oh, yeah, he's kept going. But that's been the constant.
When he was 12, he lost his virginity, a 25-year-old.
We're not all in Scotland, John.
Absolutely.
Yep, Kate's the same age as me.
And to be fair, I mean, 12 is pretty much the age where people hit adulthood in Scotland, isn't it? So it's not exactly...
Well, that's true, yeah. You're an old age pensioner by the time you hit 45.
Absolutely, yeah. You've already had half your life. Sorry, Morgan.
Oh, the look on her little face.
Oh.
Oh, Mr. Ears is giving his watch back. Yeah, Kate, I'm actually slightly older than Kate Beckinsale. We're talking weeks.
Are we?
Yep. Which I think is quite... I'm quite pleased with that. That means if I ever get to meet her, she's my age. It'd be fine.
My wife was born on the same day and year as Lucy Lawless, Xena Warrior Princess.
Oh, really?
So that's why you like her.
Yeah. I look at pictures of Lucy Lawless now, look at her wife and go, ah.
Yeah, but you're much happier with who you're with, John.
Yes.
Does she listen to this?
No. But Morgan's here. She's,
good point, Romain. Yes.
Have I mistaken me for Scott?
That's true. Yeah. I would never sit in front of Scott. All I need to do is bribe Morgan with chocolate. And then
and perfume now, happens. Apparently. Oh, hello. We've gone grot bags again. And meteors are coming in, or artillery fire from another planet, or...
I can guess a bit. Bombs.
Yeah.
Oh, these are the people who were chasing him in the first place.
Yeah.
Just open the watcher down and get on with it. Oh, that's where we do the I don't want to go face later, isn't it? That's where it came from.
That I don't want to go face.
Do you know what? I think that's the one thing I think was better in the original series. Is the regenerations.
Because they were simpler? Or
yeah. They
because you weren't intentionally aiming for a certain point where it had to happen.
Yeah. They were simpler and less melodramatic.
Well, to be honest, of the new series, like, Tenants is the worst.
Oh, it is, by a country mile.
Yeah. I think
I'm going to spend the last 20 minutes of my final episode going around doing a tour of everybody that I've met, saving them one more time.
Yep, yeah. And then getting upset
about it. And then I'll set fire to everything.
I'll burn my own timeline. I mean, at least Capaldi gave us a little speech.
There's an element of dignity.
But even so, it took an episode.
Fuck yeah.
The only one worse than 10 is probably Colin Baker. And Colin Baker didn't even turn up for it.
I'm not totally sure that counts as a regeneration. I think Colin Baker is still the Doctor somewhere.
That's not, well, Big Finish have regenerated him.
Oh, bless him. Of course they have.
I had to bring Big Finish in. Big Finish did a regeneration scene for Colin Baker.
Although you could... You're right there. We've lost her. You could argue that Colin Baker's...
Laura chokes every time I mention Big Finish.
But I'm, no, too many jokes. Move on.
My I don't want to go face.
Yes. Oh, God. At some point, Morgan's going to be old enough to understand these jokes.
I know, he's going to listen back and go, oh, my goodness.
Oh, I'm sad that's gone. Never mind, I'll get to listen to these things I did with a child. What?
I was actually going to do this. I listened to these two podcasts. I was actually going to mime blowing dust off of a box, except that's your podcast come. I'm a big box of podcasts.
I keep all mine in a bag under the stairs.
Excellent.
But yeah, I still think Colin Baker got shouted a little bit because technically his last ever words were carrot juice.
Yeah.
So arguably his is the worst.
Yeah, just
what was Jessica Hines supposed to be here?
Was that his last word?
I'm trying to work out how old Jessica Hines' character is supposed to be, how old Nurse Redfern is supposed to be. Because she has been married.
Yep.
And she's effectively, it's behind her.
Yeah, but in 1913, she could have got married at 17 and he could have died at 20 from cholera.
True.
Or just from reasons. He probably died up a chimney, working as a chimney sweep.
Oh, doctor again.
Static mass again.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. I think it's exactly the same mask, isn't it? They didn't even bother getting a new one.
Yeah, it's the same one from
Lazarus.
No,
that would have been an
episode before Last of the Time Lords.
Last of the Time Lords, yeah.
Unfortunately, this is the point where she stops being able to act properly and resorts to her slightly comedic, flat, deadpan comedy performance. If she was now starting to give a presentation to an Olympic committee, you'd believe it.
Or if she was talking to Tim Bisley.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God. He's just, no, just don't let him act.
He's great.
He really isn't.
I disagree.
Leave us the end. We are going to have an argument at the end, aren't we?
Are you sure?
Like, worse than last week.
What happened last week?
We disagreed.
We disagreed.
Me and John to you.
Vocally.
Now, how does he scan as human still?
Yeah, does he not explain it? I'm sure he explains how he scans as human.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. And it's a really rubbish explanation, but it is an explanation nonetheless.
Okay. It's not as rubbish as just randomly fawning against everything which is going to get him out of the issue.
Yeah.
So he's giving himself up as a Time Lord at this point.
He's giving the Fob Watch up, saying, there you go, there's my Time Lord Fob Watch. Which is another Delamitri song.
It is. One of their B-sides. Yeah. Very, very good.
Yeah.
Little girls can't do big sniffs, apparently.
They can.
I think one of the things I love about doing this podcast is seeing your other half, Laura, liking things on Facebook while you're not anywhere near her. We know what she's up to while you're in here. She's over there going, oh, da-da-da-da-da.
Basically, he did an olfactory misdirection.
Ah.
Got him sniffing the wrong place.
Yeah.
So that was his get out. It wasn't a good one, but basically, that's an episode you don't ever want to see. Got him sniffing the wrong place.
The Doctor gets a 5-second head start, but doesn't get thrown by this explosion.
Well, they're all running very slowly while he's sprinting slightly faster.
Yeah, I know. And considering he should be at the peak of his physical form at the moment, son of mine.
Well, you say that. Oh, son of mine definitely should be. But then,
but the way son of mine walks is a wee bit like he's shit himself. whenever you see him walking, he does look like some sort of...
Yeah, to be fair, though, in 1913, everyone shat themselves. It was just what they did. It was a simpler time.
Lately, he walks a bit like a penguin with an inappropriate erection.
Which reminds me, yet again, you must watch Harley Quinn.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I know I keep saying that and I haven't yet. And it's not as if I don't have a ton of time in my hands.
Well, no, this is it. But you really...
How do you trick someone into the heart of a collapsing galaxy?
Oh, we've all been there.
Yeah, you just go out there. There's chocolate down there.
Yeah, that's how I ended up in one. Someone said there's a lovely little chocolatey coin down there, and they dropped it, and I'd go in after it. And just before you know it,
that's them.
This end bit's great, but it does mean that this guy is narrating the fact that he is stuck in suspended animation.
Yeah,
but then we're back to American Beauty again, aren't we?
Yeah.
I'm always reminded of an incident when I was at school, an English lesson. We had to write a poem about a sea creature or something to do with the beach. Yeah. And one of the kids in class wrote a poem from the point of view of a whelk, which included the line, "Help, help, I'm being eaten out of my shell." And the teacher very kindly pointed out that if that was actually happening, you couldn't write the poem.
Clearly, the misunderstanding of whelk poetry, then.
Well, yes, totally. This is it. It missed an entire genre.
Yeah.
And I feel crushed his poetic dreams.
His words... said it was a metaphor, you prick. That is poetry.
Completely forgetting Wordsworth's Ode to a Greek Whelk.
Yeah.
Oh, he's gone all serious again. Oh, God.
It's all been downhill since Rose left.
It's the ugliest cat looking at him.
I'd like to know which cottage they found to film this in, because it's definitely a set rather than a studio floor job, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, so
it's a location rather than a set. And it's just...
I don't know where all of this is, actually, because...
I mean, I'm assuming Welsh countryside because of being based in Cardiff, but...
Well, you would have thought so, but it's not all, is it? Particularly location shots.
Is that your medication reminder again, John?
That was my medication reminder.
Oh, you didn't get it?
Okay. I need to start switching off for the podcast. That must be quite annoying.
No, no, it's quite amusing now. It's become a regular thing.
Because it's a regular spot in the podcast, yeah. Didn't do me any good on Tuesday.
Clearly not, no. But maybe you didn't get the reminder from the podcast on Tuesday, and that was your problem.
Absolutely.
After all the scarecrows and stuff, I'd be slightly concerned that there's that whole wheat sheaf thing on the wall. I'd set fire to it just to make sure it doesn't come to life.
I'm not going near scarecrows anymore.
When do you ever go near scarecrows?
Do you have scarecrows in Scotland?
We do.
Do you have them in Glasgow? That's the question.
We just hire alcoholics to just sit in the field and yell and throw bottles at crows. Yeah.
I imagine that was
be quite, something.
That was quite a boom industry during the furlough years, wasn't it?
There are scarecrows in Spain.
El Scarecrow.
El Scarecrow. Just in case you ever wondered what the Spanish for the scarecrow was.
Yep.
Scarecrow.
That's French.
No, that'd be Le Crow Scare.
what's German for scarecrow?
I
thought you were fluent.
Eine Crow Scaren.
Einen Kron de Scaren.
Oh, what's happened? Sorry, I was giving linguistic lessons.
That was the serious nature of Nurse Redfern suddenly realising that had the doctor never decided to land there, then everyone would have survived.
Of course.
Well, to be fair, it's not something that's really picked up that often.
Well, this is one of the few
circulation damage which comes with the doctor.
Well, that's kind of dealt with in older series, isn't it? And kind of dealt with Capaldi, but apart from that, it's kind of just skipped around.
Generally,
who put the TARDIS back there?
It's usually for the better.
Oh yeah.
Why do you say that? Cybermen are people too.
Absolutely. I was going to say Cybermen have feelings too, but they don't. The whole point.
That's the point. All aliens matter. how did the blue box get there?
Got the scarecrows to lift it. I don't know.
But they shot them all down.
Yeah, I know. He's got his own scarecrows.
Ah. Did you just... I don't want to scroll back, but did you notice how that particular shot actually showed it slightly on a pallet or on wheels?
I didn't see that.
No.
Go back to it when we finished. There's a long shot. Well, just
how
as...
else does it get around?
Well, no.
Right, it's not something that's ever come up, but I'm sure that the pallet, which carries the TARDIS, will get its own big finish series.
It will. It
Absolutely.
Deserves it.
It's already in production. But
they don't normally put it in the shot.
Wouldn't it be great if the beginning sequence was just like someone pushing the TARDIS on a pallet in a red tunnel?
Well, in the post-lockdown budget cut world, that is going to be the opening credits of the next series. It's going to be two people who had previously been furloughed and then lost their jobs with coloured torches, and two more people pushing the... slightly there, just pushing it along on wheels while somebody else plays the theme tune on a kazoo.
It appears to be on something because it's up perfectly straight rather than at the angle that it should be.
Yeah, totally. I know they've put a rock there to make it look right, but it's not quite. You can see the gap.
Well, six of magazines or a book underneath.
Yeah, I'm sure I saw yellow pages. So I'm sure there's a yellow pages under there.
It's close to an old boys school. It's probably under a pile of porn mags.
Damn, this is a family show. Well, we've gone into Blackadder again, haven't we?
This is the time. This is a couple of years later. My voice still hasn't broken properly.
The voices didn't break during the war. There was a war on. It was rationed.
That must have been quite intimidating. I was like, fire!
You didn't get hormones until you were 25.
The fact that he's obviously still 13 years old there, that's always grated with me.
He's still 13 now, I think. I don't think he's aged. Probably from holding that fob watch.
That'll do it. But yeah, there is a small matter of how did he get called up for the war when he quite clearly...
When it sounds like this!
That was Newquay Beach, I think. And then
And now we've got the bit where we have wheeled out someone because we can.
Was this a particular war memorial episode? As in around the right time?
It was May 2000. Oh. No, sorry, it was June 2007.
Yeah, we don't tend to have major more things.
It was well out of sync with November.
Yeah.
It's the 18th and a half anniversary at the end of the Second World War.
I mean, I'm assuming we check first that the statues were all okay.
2007, different time.
Oh, yeah, we didn't care so much.
Come on then, Khan, why is that episode shit?
Now, the argument was, I remembered, that... I'm sure that's Kerry Mulligan, by the way. The argument was I had to watch the second one to then say whether I thought that was the best Doctor Who episode ever made ever or something.
Nobody has claimed that it's the best episode ever made. It is a fantastic episode.
Nobody said that.
Was it a top 10 episode or something?
The story, yes, not the individual episode.
Yeah, so the overall two-parter.
Uh-huh.
So the overall story, wasn't it, the whole thing?
Uh-huh.
The second half is better than the first half. And the scarecrows are scarier. And it gets more dramatic. And there's lots of more angst and drama and tension and poignancy and message in it. So it is much, much, much better. It's let down by the first half. And it is still let down by the horrendous overacting of Son of Mine. I'm sorry, but he is utterly, utterly appalling in this. He's got one face and he can't do evil. He just looks like he's had a stroke.
Yeah. See, this is why I'm glad that I put myself in the middle of this video, because at the moment I appear that I'm going to be like the referee in an argument between you two. So, John, if you would like to rebuke.
I think you're full of shit. I never said it was going to be a clever argument, but no, I think his performance is fantastic. I think he takes the parts of his character that were kind of already there when he was just being a bit of a kind of bully schoolboy, and then just increases it tenfold with that kind of real kind of alien quality about him.
I will say, and I said this in the previous episode, that his acting range does go between the two.
Yeah,
it does. In terms of facial, from normal to just like basically wonky mouth.
Yeah, totally.
But there's a lot more behind it, I think you're giving him credit for.
I have to pause for a second as someone is coming in wondering if a bottle of wine has already been opened. Discovered it isn't, and she's now going to have to choose between which bottle of wine to open, and I'm very tempted to suggest one that requires a corkscrew just to watch her struggle. But that'd be mean. I think part of the problem is I don't know how much direction he was actually given. So I'm not sure if he... Because you can kind of play Poncy bully schoolboy, because that's an intrinsic part of growing up in this country, as you know, some overly posh twat who's a bully and a bit of a shit. Every school's got them. I think a government department just issued them. Do you want to... So that bit, you've got the experience to pull from, without a doubt. And there is just this intrinsic cultural trope in this country of private schools and the sort of people who go to them. So at that point, he was kind of okay, but it's when...
Honestly, it's not just private schools, trust me.
No, it's not. We even had them in Harwich, which was quite an achievement because they were sure as fuck weren't posh down there. But you then get the problem that he's got to try and do Sinister. And if you haven't got a lot of acting experience behind you and you haven't been given very strong direction, I'm not sure it's an easy thing to pull off. The little girl could do it because she didn't have to do much other than hold a balloon. Mother of mine.
No, but she also had that small speech where she becomes quite aggressive.
Yeah.
But she did it very well. Mother of mine and father of mine both kind of got it, but they've got experience, although father of mine just didn't change much.
I thought he was infinitely more sinister than either of them. The first episode is called Human Nature, right?
Yes.
And to me, one of the best parts of his performance is that clearly the person he was before he got possessed, if you will, by this alien is clearly the template that they've used, but he can't quite pull it off, right? It becomes a caricature of a public school bully with this kind of real alien quality about
him. What did you just say?
Who, him or me?
It's all right, I just misheard you. I misheard you, I've got it now.
Right, okay.
I thought you said something really controversial, which I could pull off this and use against you, but I think we're okay.
No, I just felt that clearly, you know, they all had the mannerisms that were associated with who they were when they were human, sure. But they couldn't quite pull it off quite right because they were alien. And there's a parallel between that and the Doctor. Because they're trying to emulate humanity and the Doctor is, to all intents and purposes, human, and there's that kind of parallel between not quite checking correctly.
I will give you that, but I still maintain he's the weakest one of the four.
I wholeheartedly disagree. I think he's the strongest of the four.
I take on board your disagreement, John, but if I may use your own argument back at you, you're full of shit. As a counterpoint.
Morgan apparently knows what Scarecrow is in German now. I don't. It's almost as if she went and asked her mum.
That's cheating, Morgan. You've got to go and look it up yourself.
Are you going to tell us, Morgan?
Just look it up on Google Translate because none of us are going to fucking check.
Well, you need to come over here. She's over on the trapeze.
Off the trapeze, come to the camera and tell us.
Off the trapeze.
What's trapeze in German?
It's trapeze.
Oh, fair enough. So what's Scarecrow?
Vogelscheuche.
I'm going to have to tick the box now, aren't I? Okay, then. So what am I missing here? Why is this so highly regarded as a two-part? I think there are stronger stories.
Because you have the Doctor being taken out of his comfort zone as the Doctor. So you have David Tennant playing for 90% of the episode, effectively a different character.
Okay.
You also then have the danger of, you have the setting of 1913, which you don't like, but I think is actually very, very well done for what it is. I think it would look probably a lot better in HD because they would have to put more effort into it, but I think what it is, it's very good.
Okay.
You also have Martha probably putting in Freema Rajaman's best performance in this series.
Oh, in this series?
If I'm honest.
Except for one little bit that really niggles me.
Go on.
But there's a bit where she more or less does this wee angsty thing where when she realizes the Doctor is in love, but it's not with her. And you're like,
and the whole storming out of the room bit as well and shutting up the window and holding
it. Martin, she's really good in this. But her rose was shown a little bit at one point.
And no one wants their rose showing.
No.
I know, absolutely.
Especially not pre-watershed. I mean, the other point, I know I'm being particularly overly critical, but that's, I enjoy just being a git. The other slight issue I have...
It's all right, we're looking forward to next week when you we talk about Blink and you'll say, well, the Doctor wasn't in it enough. They never brought her back for a second episode. She went off and she got herself a Hollywood career, didn't she? Fuck her.
Yeah.
Those aren't real statues.
Yes, statues. Yeah. There's only four of them. If he wanted to be scary, he should have had six.
Do you realise in the current climate, an episode with statues is just going to be a whole new different thing? It's just going to be so, so different. But no, okay, let's look at the positives. The whole school thing and the war thing, I think they hammered and they got really, really well. They nailed that. They got that really on the money. Jessica Hines, over the whole two episodes, is very good, apart from when she slips a little bit towards the end of episode, the second half. I'm not too sure of the physical geography of everything, because you have a public school and a pub and a cottage in the middle of nowhere.
It's there isn't a village. Oxfordshire somewhere.
Yeah, but in terms of physicality, if there was a public school
in terms of countryside, it's going to be Oxfordshire somewhere.
Yeah, but if there's a public school in the middle of the countryside, there would either be nothing else around and everything would be on site, or it would be on the edge of a small town or a small village. But they seem to have found a public
school.
You
made you the expert on 1913 public school geography.
I'm older than I look.
There was a village and we just didn't see much of the village.
Well, that's because there wasn't
much. Well, we do, because we've got there's the pub there. Yeah, there is definitely like a main road and stuff, so it may be bigger than you think.
The teachers need somewhere to bugger off to after the kids go to bed to get pissed.
Well, that's very true, but I don't think they thought that bit through. It's a little bit, I mean, it's the little thing that niggles me in Frasier, that they never actually get the physicality of the flat and the tower block sorted. And it's just one of those little things that bugs me, because that's the sort of thing you need to map out first of all so you know where everything is. I'm not saying it's practical or sensible, but that's just where my head goes. Sorry.
But so the guy that mapped the Overlook Hotel in the film The Shining, have you ever seen that?
No.
He says that it's an impossible shape. The hotel, the upstairs, when you see the stairs and you see the way that Danny goes round on his little
pushy bikey thing,
his little push bike car thing, etc. And you see him do it on two different floors, and Stanley Kubrick does it as one shot, and it just can't physically work.
Yeah.
And there's someone's also like, I mean,
I can't remember if I've sent this to one of you two, but somebody's done the same for the Frasier apartment, and they've done like a listing of like everything else and mapped out with a full floor plan of like the most famous apartments, like the Simpsons house is in there.
Yeah, she's taking the Simpsons one.
Huge, and then it doesn't make sense because they've got like two dining rooms, two lounges downstairs, there's like five bedrooms upstairs. The house would be worth fucking millions.
Yeah, and it's no way it can work on the actual physicality of the outside of that house. Because that's just a two up, two down. Well, an American version of, but yeah. So little things like that. I just think, just spend 5 minutes working out where everything should be in the village, and then you can map it out and map your outside shots a lot better. But like I said, the second half much better than the first half. For me, the weak point is as discussed, but I take John's point on board, and I'm sorry to hear he'll never be joining us again.
Is Morgan still allowed to join in?
We wouldn't be a podcast without Morgan.
Okay, no, absolutely. I'll just be on the trip.
Yes, so John's going to be in the back there, maybe up on the top there, just looking down. Occasionally, just shouting, "No, he's talking bollocks."
John gets to wear the ears.
I can do it now.
Oh man, that so suits you. Hold that pose.
That's good shot.
Oh God, don't do it.
Hey, brilliant. Hey. Yeah, that's going up. Right.
Please
don't. Oh, no, because that's just Cyber John. So we're now at...
Hang on, there are. I've just put the Family Blood onto Wikipedia because I was trying to work out where exactly this was A filmed, B set, whatever.
Yeah.
There's been a new section added to Wikipedia for this episode saying during the COVID-19 pandemic, so it's new. Several well-regarded episodes of the show were broadcast with live internet commentary from the writers, often pairing new content. Cornell released three interlinked short stories, The Shadow Passes, Shadow of a Doubt, and The Shadow in the Mirror, that collectively functioned as a sequel to both the novel and the TV adaptation.
Ooh.
So, not homework!
Send links.
Yeah.
Homework, I'll find them.
You.
I'm going to reread the novel because
we've seen some of the others that have happened because there's been a lot of activity, obviously, of course, over the last few months.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
No, I didn't know that either. I've actually decided to reread the novel based on the fact that I remember really enjoying it at the time. I remembered something today. The Doctor's kind of essence, if you will, is in a cricket ball in the book.
That's clever. I think that might be, apart from getting it back out again, it'd be a bit of a challenge. But
they want to change it to something which could be opened.
Yeah,
right.
Because I haven't read a Doctor Who book in years, apart from the first graphic novel. But they were one of the things I really loved reading as a kid. And my memory of the Terence Dix novelizations were really, really good. And that's why I've gone back and I've bought a couple more for the Missing series.
You know, it's really weird. I have no idea why, but I still remember the opening line to Terence Dix, The Dalek Invasion of the Earth, and I've not had a copy of it since I was a kid.
Wow.
And the opening sentence is, "Through the ruin of a city stalked the ruin of a man."
That rings a bell. Yes, I think I've read that.
And I don't know why that's all.
That's such a good opening line. Yeah, I remember reading that now. Oh, God, that was so good.
I think last time I read that, I was younger than Morgan.
That's not possible.
I know, I was never younger than Morgan.
No. You're Scottish, you can never be younger than Morgan. Right, so that was the... I've already forgotten what it was called because we talked about... That was Family of Blood. The second parter to the first parter to the brother of mine, sister of mine, aliens of mine, and God knows what else. From here, how long we got till the season finale?
We've got Blink, we've got Utopia, we have the two-parter, so four episodes to go. What? And then you get your Christmas episode.
This is going to be like a locomotive, isn't it? We're going to be getting quite a lot of locomotion going on. This is really good. So next up is...
Did you just try a joke and then you realise it hadn't come out with the proper wording to make the point?
It was supposed to be corrected yourself.
Yeah, did all that. Realised I shoehorned in the wrong word to make the joke work. Went back to it, shoehorned it in again and realised it was shit anyway. And I'm still
if
leaving it in.
Though, you'd have been experiencing some kind of bliss. I'm just going to do this all right now.
Shut up, the pair of you. thank God I don't live next door to you. I hate to have you as neighbours. That one worked. Come on. Yeah, okay, maybe not. It's just me and Morgan watching Blink on Tuesday then. Yeah, so Blink on Tuesday is... I'm going to ask the question now, and we can answer it on Tuesday, but I'm going to put forward the suggestion that of the modern era, Blink is one of the modern classics.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
sure.
a fucking short discussion, wasn't it?
I think you're preaching to the converted.
I imagine we'll probably talk about it a little bit more in depth come Tuesday.
I hope so. 45 minutes tonight. Of silence. Ending by, yeah, you're right. Goodbye.
Yes, it's a classic. And it's funny how people were probably a little worried about it because they knew it was going to be the Dr. Light episode for that season after Love and Monsters. And it turned out to be...
All right.
More than...
Amazing. Yeah.
I'd actually forgotten that the star in it is who she is.
Yeah.
Really?
And I've also seen the best use of the Beeping Angels. They should probably never have brought them back.
The first time, yes. Second time, no.
Don't underestimate also my ability to forget things.
Okay.
I'll expand on that on the next one because we've gone on enough. In the meantime, this has been the Unsalted Popcorn Podcast Directionless Commentary Doctor Who Special, episode number 457 and a half. Over there in the hat doing the techie shit was Laura.
Cheers.
Over on the other side, drinking tea, was John.
Bye.
Speaking German and now hiding was Morgan, and I've been Carl Johnson, and we shall join you again on Tuesday. Goodbye.
Bye.
There we go.